are here, like Luke said, better late than never. I had some pastoral duties to take care of here today that took precedent over that, and really over starting, and really that'll happen from time to time. If I have duties here to take care of, then I'll have to wait, and this will have to wait sometimes, and this was one of those things so that I had to get taken care of, and, you know, I'm a pastor to this flock first to help them, and when necessary, when they need me, I need to be there for them. And, you know, that kind of is what took place today, but we thank the Lord for that I can be used of God and that we can be back on here. I don't know how long I'll go today with everything. I'm not sure, but we'll see. But we definitely have some things to talk about here. Hope you enjoyed Wednesday's broadcast. We dealt with Catherine Kuhlman. And before that, we dealt with the other charismatic. Oh, I forgot that person's name now. I don't even remember who it was. Monday we dealt with, we talked about spiritual darkness, and which is definitely a important topic to understand and to learn from. There's going to come a time in your Christian life where things are going to feel like the lights went out. And when that does happen, we have to trust the Lord when the lights go out. Amen. And we learn that the hard way sometimes, and we learn that through darkness. We don't learn that until we go through some of those things and go through dark times and discouragement and things like that. You know, yeah, Danny, this is the right place. You got it. So anyway, but I like the old hymns too. I'm glad you like them. I don't know. I just felt led by the Lord to play these hymns, you know, two or three a month ago or whatever, to start playing these through broadcasts and things like that, because I think they're very helpful. They're very good for us to think about and to sing and to rejoice and praise the Lord with. You know, God wants us to be praising Him in songs and hymns and in spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Amen. That's what God wants us to do, and that's what we ought to be doing every day through all of life's challenges, and continue to do the work the Lord has called us to do. And can I turn up the volume a bit? Is it too low? Or am I not speaking loud enough, maybe? I think I'm being loud enough. I can have Luke check the volume there. It looks like it's up all the way. I'm not sure, actually. You know, but we can see if the volume's a little too low. All right, Tracy, good to see you on here. And Kristen Hadley, good to see you on here as well. Jeffrey Nell. Yeah, the alphabet soup, always doing something, right? what are these names? Refusing the microchip implant. Well, that's good. Evangelist Baptist John Worley. Right? Been a while since I've seen you on a live broadcast, but I know you listen, and I'm glad you do. Luke can check and see if it's not loud enough. You'll have to let me know. I don't know. Right, if you faint in the day of adversity, that your strength is small. That's right. That's true. And there are times that God's people do faint, though, and they do faint under circumstances and under trials and tribulations and things like that. But God will always strengthen us and build us up as we seek His face. We may not always feel better or feel perfect or anything like that, but we will be strengthened in all might in the inner man. And though this outward flesh day by day is dying, the new man, amen. And, so it took me a while to get on here, but I had some duties and some things to take care of first and had to get to that right away. And that's kind of where I was at here all morning. But praise the Lord, that got taken care of. So anyway, but we're going to talk about some of the times that we're facing here, the apostasy of the times and the challenges that are here. And good day. Volume needs to be louder. Okay. All right. Let me get Luke on here. See if there's something I need to turn up here. All right. We'll check that out and see what's going on. I'm not sure why the volume's not loud. Let's see. Logitech, desktop audio, mic auxiliary. Well, it looks like it's full blast there. Yeah, I'm not for sure here. Timothy Ross, how are you doing? So let's see. I'm not sure what's going on here. Let me see. We'll get Luke on here, and hopefully he'll catch it here in a few minutes. So we'll try to get it louder for you. I don't know why it's not loud. Usually I'm too loud for everybody. Right? People are like, man, you're loud. Becca, can you hear me okay? Am I loud enough? See if I'm loud enough. The directional mic needs adjustment. The directional. Was it like not, was it too far away from me? Is that what it was? Is that better? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I had it too far away or not the right angle or something. Let's see. Turn up the gain dial next to the mic input in front of your keyboard. Turn up the gain dial. All right. Oh, mic input. Let's see here. Okay. That's this one here. All right. Is that better? Let me know if that's better here. Is that better? Can you hear me better now? When you turn your head. Sounds good when I'm by the mic, like right here. Okay. Well, I can do that. I can make sure it's closer. I don't know if that's better or not. Debbie says she hears okay. Keep your head in one position. I can't keep my head in one position. Let's see. Maybe that'll help. All right. Is that fine? Is that good? Are we better now? Can you hear me? All right. All right. Sounds like that's better. Now I'm going to blast everything out. Looks like the red's going here when I talk. I'm looking at the little thing there. I don't know. Luke might have to check that out to make sure I'm not going to blast everything out of here. You're louder when you turn your head now. Well, look, I'm not Poltergeist. I'm not going to turn my head all the way around or anything. All right, let's see here if we got it. I don't want to be a soundboard engineer. I can't even figure out half of that stuff anyway. All right, anyway. Let's see. Hopefully we're louder than what we were anyway. And I don't know how long I'll be on today. We'll see. You can see me better now. What in the world happened? Why couldn't you see me before? Anyway, but we'll look at a few things today in the news. Few challenges here that we have in the Christian world, that is, and I mean that by the saints of God. I don't mean that by, you know, the world itself, but just the people of God and the challenges that are here. You know, we are facing an onslaught of apostasy that is continuing to march forward. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going away. It's not stopping. The LGBTQ people, they are gonna continue to force their way through. They are not stopping their march forward to apostatize all the churches, and Satan is using them, and Satan is building them up to do that. And you know, but among that is other things. It's like, I think one of the problems is that people have lost. Churches have lost their core responsibility and fundamentals, and they no longer follow them anymore. It's like they're carried away with every wind of doctrine. There's nothing solid being taught to people to feed them on, and people are so weak that they're accepting Satan's arguments. You know, they're willing to accept his arguments, and they are diabolical. Let me tell you something. When Satan gets into your head, he can give you some arguments, and you can't fight him. You can't out-logic Satan, because he's going to destroy you in that way in your mind, because he's just better at it than you. And you have to destroy him with the Word of God, and we have to destroy his works with the Word of God. He's already a defeated foe, and we think like that. We have to understand that, that we have to use the Word of God. And to understand that's the fight that we have. Trying to use logic and fundamentals, logic and everything else like that. There is some logic to the Christian life, that's for sure. But there's also rock-ribbed, a perfect set of principles in the Bible that we're to live by, the Word of God, that we're not to move from. I'm glad, Lisa, you won't attend your cousin's gay wedding. I wouldn't attend it either. You know, your nephew's gay wedding. It's gross. It's wicked. It's vile. God hates it. And it's not a wedding. You know? But you know, here's the thing. You that are saved by the grace of God out there that are listening to me right now, there's like 41 people on here right now. You that are listening to me, I want you to understand something. You're not exempt from your responsibilities to live for Christ, because you're not in it. You may not have a church, or you may not. You have the same responsibilities to be faithful to God, to try to find a church, and to continue to support the work of the Lord wherever it may be. I mean, you don't get to sit at home and be exempt from life. You've got to continue on for the Lord. You've got to do something for God out there. And God expects you to continue to be faithful to him. And, you know, so I would exhort you and encourage you to continue on for the Lord and to do that, okay? We're going to go to this first article, which is downright frightening. Two things wrong with this picture, right? Abortion worker is ordained pastor, now promoting abortion as social justice. All right? Social justice. Do you see this? A female pastor of a Baptist church. Okay, stop there for a second. As sad as that is, because there's nothing in the Bible. Obviously, we talked about this. This is an issue. All right. Do you see this Jezebel spirit? And you see it rule and reign. And where it rules and reigns, there's always confusion, rebellion, and disobedience to God that reigns there. Okay? And here's what we have here. Abortion worker is ordained pastor, now promoting abortion as social justice. A female pastor of a Baptist church recently did an interview in which she claims, in the name of social justice, to promote abortion. To do so, she cites the godly women of the Bible and ties it into her pro-abortion fight. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Right? Katie or whatever her name is the pastor of Pullen Memorial Baptist Church, whose website announces the church is a sanctuary for illegal aliens. So you got the stinking den of thieves in there, man. You've got what does the Bible say? The cage of every fowl, of every bird. Let's look that up, right? Because that's literally what you have there. I don't know what the deal is with that. That's weird. Okay, anyway. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That right there is the cage of every fowl bird. Right? That is a Jezebel. That is what we would call a witch. All right? That's a witch. In the interview posted by Baptist New Globe, oh wait, let me back up here. Zeh is actually a Methodist, but the Baptist Church didn't care enough about doctrine to make theology an issue. Zeh left the United Methodist Church for not being inclusive enough of homosexuals. And so she found herself at the Liberal Baptist Church in North Carolina. In the interview posted by the Baptist News Global, Zeh recalls her first Sunday at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church and feeling uncomfortable because she wasn't a Baptist. Then she told the congregant she wasn't a Baptist. The congregant told her not to worry because she was Jewish. Whoa. What in the world? Babylon. Right? Babylon. What can bring Methodists, Baptists, and Jews, and no doubt some atheists together to worship together? The tie that binds together is social justice. According to Zeh, she first felt her call to ministry working at an abortion clinic. Okay, so here's a woman that works at a place that murders babies. And she said she felt the call to minister for the God of the Bible at an abortion clinic. Does anybody not think that's witchcraft? Is anybody confused at the fact that that lady is a witch? Man, I don't have my hat here. If Luke was here, he could get my hat for me. But he's not here today, and I don't. Somebody stole my prop. Somebody's in trouble. They stole my cone witch hat. Somebody's going to get fired. They don't get paid, but whatever. Anyway, somebody's going to get in trouble. Somebody's losing pay for this. Zero from zero is a lot. Listen, she is a witch. That's a witch. Okay? I really felt my call to minister while volunteering at a reproductive health clinic that performed abortion services. You know, can I translate for you guys out there? Let me translate for you out there. Here's what that means. You know, when the blood-curdling screams, when the blood was on the floor, when we're murdering babies, when we're sucking their guts out, when we're doing all those things, that's when I felt the call. Yeah, that's a witch. That's what that is right there. Now, let me review. I feel like I have to review for people because they won't remember. Okay? So let's go back. Second Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So she transforms herself into a minister of righteousness through the social justice programming, through pastoring a church. See what I mean? Right? She's a witch. She can look at you with a straight face, stand up on a Sunday. Man. Oops. This is it. Welcome from Nancy, another witch from the pit of hell. As pastor of Poland, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you and extend an invitation. Why does this make me, like, really super angry when I see it? Oh, my goodness. Look at the guy with the awful green gay pants sitting there looking, oh, happy to be here. It's just so stinking gay. The whole thing. And you have to have a spirit like that to sit there and let these people do that. Oh, my goodness. Sermons. Oh, man, that should be good. Oh, man. That should be really good. Let's see. Oh, there's no audio, this lady of Butch Cassidy screaming at me. Oh, here's a podcast. Let's see. Oh, how do you even do this? The new thing. This is the first time I've explored this, so just give me. The day the manna ceased. This lady sounds great, doesn't she? Oh, no. Some spammer got on here and copied the Woogie Man. Oh, no. Why should I be surprised? Oh, anyway. Wow. Okay, anyway, so she's got sermons on there. You want to look at the worship guides, the worshipful master guides? Let's just see what August 5th says. Whoa. No, I don't want to collaborate with you. Wow. So this is a social justice church, right? That's what this is here. And these people, this thing right here, this lady here, this Jezebel, this whore of Babylon, this satanic servant, and I know I'm gonna have people say, you're just mean. I had some guy going to say, you're mean. He said that on my video of Catherine Kuhlman. You're just too hard. That's what your problem is. Well, I'm not the one deceiving people, taking money from people and laying hands on them and them not being healed and taking all their money from them. And imparting devils on them and faking. And I'm not the one that's working at an abortion clinic and the person is killing babies while they're a pastor in a church. Zay, okay, according to Zay, she first felt her call to ministry at working at an abortion clinic. Of course, because there's no violence there. Right? There's no violence there. Zay claimed, I really felt my call to, like, minister while volunteering at a reproductive health clinic that performed abortion services. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's where I felt that. Okay. All right. No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. Are you listening? Listen to me. Listen. Are you ready for this? Here, watch this. It came from, like, walking through a line of protesters who I assumed I was a patient and experiencing the violence of people of faith. I thought, I could be someone who looks different from people of faith who were being violent and be an advocate for reproductive rights. That was the moment I felt the call to work to that work. Yeah, that's I know that's my impression of her. I don't know how she sounds, but that's the whole witchy poo dumbness voice that comes into my head when I think about that. Right? That's the voice. I love how people come on here and spam me like the servants of Satan and want to come here and just like because they hate the fact that I do this, that I talk about things that nobody else wants to talk about, and say it like okay. Look, if there's anything that God's gifted me with, and I'm not saying that every word that I ever say out of my mouth is the right thing at the right time, okay? But let me say something to you. If there's anything that that God has blessed me with, it is to make things plain to people and to make the wicked stuff look so stupid to believe that you have got to be dumb on purpose to believe it because you want to be deceived. And that's what this is. Right? That's what this is. Because you know what? I get punched by Satan all the time. So I want to punch his kingdom back. I want to slug him back. I want to slug it. I know I can't slug him personally like that, but and I don't want to because I know I couldn't because I need Christ to fight for me. But my point is this. I can do exploits against his kingdom. I can fight back. I can go after it. Right? And this is the perfect example of witchcraft that 99.9% of Christianity out there today will not even see. And they'll think, well, what's wrong with those people? Well, she's a witch. She's got devils in her. She's got devils in her. That's what's wrong with her. What do you mean, what's wrong with her? She's got devils in her. No, Pastor. Now, come on. I'm going to show you something. Ready? By the way, I have no outline for any of this stuff. Right? I have no outline for this stuff. I'm just telling you that they're murdering babies there. Right? Okay. Now, I'll show you something here. All right? Just so you understand this. Let's see. See if I can remember it here. Let's see. Wow, 80 occurrences of that. Let me see. Give me a second here. You know, there's a valley of the son of Hinnom, right? There's a valley there, Valley of Rapha. There's a lot of valleys that are pretty bad places to be. Let's see here. Hang on. I think it's in Ezekiel, though. Give me a second. Or is it Jeremiah? Let's see. Give me a second. I can't think of it. Right? See, was it right here? Okay. Anyway, I can't find the exact reference right now. I'm missing it here, okay? But anyway, the exact reference is, or the reference that I'm talking about is going down to the valley. I think it's called the Slaughter. Let me see here. I preached an entire sermon on it. I can't remember it right now. It's terrible. I know. Sometimes my mind can't remember things that I wish it would, but let's see. Hang on a second. Anyway, it was a val it's a valley of slaughter the Bible talks about. And it said the Bible talks about who will go with me down to the valley of slaughter, right? To go down to that valley and stand in the stead of these people. Why? They were murdering their babies. They were butchering their babies down in that valley. All right, the valley of the son of Hinnom, they were causing their children to pass through the fire. If one of you find that reference, look it up for me and post it on here for me so I can find it, okay? But anyway, they were going down to the valley, right? They were going down there. And we were to go and contend with them down in the valley of slaughter, right? To get down there and go fight at the valley of slaughter, right? Go fight with them down the valley, or contend with them down there. Okay, I'm not talking about fist fighting. I'm talking about contending for the Lord down there. Okay, look at this. So she's saying that's violence. That's the moment I felt I was called to this work, because like all these Christians were like totally upset because we were murdering babies, right? Like we're not supposed to be mad. Like we're supposed to be okay with like you like sucking babies' brains out and stuff. Like that's like what's the matter with you? Isn't that normal behavior? Right? So now she's pastoring a church. That's Jezebel. What does Jezebel do? Kill everybody. That's what Jezebel does. That is a Jezebel right there. That's a witch. Right? Athaliah, what did she do? She was of Jezebel. What did she do? Let's look at that. Let's see. Let's see. Here it is. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Well, who does that? A stinking witch. That's who does it. Right? Witches do that. Destroy the seed royal, destroyed all the babies, killed them all, killed all the children, killed everybody around. That's what witches do. All right, so that's what she said. She said by violence, and J.D. Hall says by violence, they meant means their speech. There's no recorded act of real violence. Okay, see, now if you go back and look on our website, I think, let me go here. Let me show you what she's talking about. Let me show you what she's talking about. See if I can. Boy, look at all these. Aren't they neat? I'm just kidding. I'm looking for something, actually. Boy, these are cool. Hey, don't forget to go back in the archives and look. Don't forget the Trump stuff. Oh, that's super fun. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. I'm looking for something. Here it is. Let me show you what they're talking about, okay? Let me show you what they're talking about, because this is what we do. Now, let me, before we get going here, let me say this to you about this video. On one side, you have a bunch of Catholics and Lutherans and everybody that come together, right? Then that are all like chanting and walking around, and they think they're doing something for abortion. And then you have the other side that on it's on Good Friday, this event is, okay? Which we don't recognize because I believe it was either Great Wednesday or Great Thursday. But anyway, the point is that you have on one side, you have all this stuff going on, right? And then on the other side, you have, okay, so the Christians, and I put that in quotes, the Catholics and the Lutherans got together, okay? And they decided that they would hold an event on Good Friday to pray for those that are having abortions and as a show against Planned Parenthood. Well, Planned Parenthood then came in, and Planned Parenthood said that they wanted to make money, so they turned it into a fundraiser. And Planned Parenthood raises funds on the fact that those Catholics and Lutherans and Protestants are all together. And then you have OPBC, which isn't a part of either one of them, that is preaching the gospel to all of them and telling them you all need to be saved and you Roman Catholics are going to die and go to hell, but we're preaching the gospel and standing up for that innocent life that's there. Okay, so I want you to see this. Because this is what that lady, this is who she's talking about. And I like saw all these protesters and it was really bad. Okay, that's what she's saying. That's what she's saying.
They've got this area permitted this year. And they permitted it all the way over to here. Right here. Last year it wasn't. And we could go up to the front of the gates up there, but they closed that off, so we can't do that anymore. And we're going to challenge this permit on this sidewalk, but that's for next year. But that's what we're going to do is challenge it. But anyway, so we've got our signs here. We've got this script, this sign here that shows the truth, the graphic truth of abortion. Then we got this one right here. And then, all right, and we've got another one right there. Got that one? All right, so we have all these, and then we're just showing these to the crowd here that's going to eat. And pretty soon I'm going to get ready to preach here. I don't know if my voice is ready, but they come up and down the sidewalk here, and they're just celebrating. They're celebrating death. You know, they're celebrating the fact that they get to kill babies. And that's too blunt for some people. They don't like that, but that's just the truth of it. They celebrate the ability to kill babies, the legal right to kill babies. It's child sacrifice right here in America, and it's right for you to see. And then you have the security guards who are smug, and this guy's been here for like 2 or 3 years too. Every year I come here, he's there with his kind of Richie Cunningham from Happy Days type smile on his face, and you know, just whatever. That's what he does, and he just kind of cackles. And then they got witches in here that are cackling like witches. We just saw some people hailing Satan as they came through and had their Hail Satan backpacks and their probably their secret Satan decoder ring with them and everything else like that. Bunch of fake Satanists and with no power of God on their lives or no power actually against us at all. So they just cackle like a bunch of witches as they come through, and that's what they do. Well, anyway, so this sidewalk has a bunch of people coming up and down in it, and then they celebrate. You'll hear the music. Looks like they couldn't get the DJ here this year. I don't know, maybe they're saving that for the afternoon, but they'll have a DJ here out here, and they're all dancing. And it reminds you of, in the Bible talks about Moloch and how they sacrificed their children to Moloch. And then when Moses came down with the mount, they were eating and drinking and dancing and doing everything else. And just a bunch of idolatry and wickedness. That reminds you of the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, the Valley of Slaughter that God said would be called the Valley of Slaughter. And, you know, they were celebrating, and you know, they played their music just like I think it was Auschwitz, or when they were carrying off the children, when they were carrying them to the slaughter, or they were putting them all in concentration camps. Hitler did that. They sing a little louder, sing a little louder. They played the music a little bit louder, and that's exactly the same thing that's going on here today. Nothing more than the celebration of child sacrifice and legal child sacrifice in America. So, and they enjoy it. It's part of their rights, they say. However, Planned Parenthood does not like the First Amendment rights. They don't like that at all. They've tried to hinder our First Amendment rights, and that's why they permit the sidewalk and keep us out as far out as they can. They move these trucks here. You see this? We got to back up here a little bit. There's a car coming through. But anyway, so they've got it permitted, and they make sure that they're within their legal rights, they think, to be able to do what they're doing and everything. So that's what they're doing. So anyway, we're here to preach the word of God to them. We're here to hand out some tracts, tell them the truth about Planned Parenthood, and obviously preach the law and the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's really what that's the only thing that cures us. You're not going to win at the ballot box, okay? If you want to go war against the devil in the spiritual realm, you do it by peacefully preaching the word of God. We stand against violence. We stand against violence against the unborn. We stand against violence against abortion workers. We stand against violence of Planned Parenthood. We don't believe in any violence at all. And we're against the violence of Planned Parenthood, how they murder babies. We're absolutely 100% against that too as well. So we're here today to do that. And we've been here for, I don't know, two or three hours probably by now, a couple hours. And we're here to preach the word of God to them and warn them to flee. We've got guys over there that are preaching here too, but this is the closest that we can come, and we're able to get here. So we just decided there were some police officers up the way there, and they said that nobody could be in the street or whatever. You can't block the street or whatever. I said, okay. Well, then they allowed some protesters for...
See that? See that? Right? If you cut off my reproductive choice, can I cut off yours? See?
Planned Parenthood were walking in the street holding their signs. I said, well, they're walking in the street. Don't they have to walk on the sidewalk? He said, well, they're not blocking traffic. I said, okay. So we found this spot right here, and we're not blocking traffic either. So we're standing here, and we're going to preach right here. We're going to, you know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, right? So we're going to do the same thing, and we're going to preach right here. So that's what we're doing here. It's going to be very important that everybody understands this event and how it works. We're actually going to go over to the pro-life side, all right? They don't believe in the abolition of abortion, though. Not really. They believe in incremental change and things like that, which isn't doing any good. But anyway, that's what they believe, and they're doing they're walking around in circles and chanting and everything like that, and it's not doing any good over there. They're just stirring up devils, in my opinion, to just stir up things, because it's an ecumenical movement. You know, it's a one-world church over there is what they're doing. A one-world movement there, acting like they're pro-life, but they're really not preaching against anything. So the police, it's funny, the police asked me earlier today, they said, well, why don't you go over there and just preach your message over there inside their event? I said, they wouldn't let us preach over there. You kidding me? They ain't going to let us preach over there. What's going to happen over there if we start preaching over there? Those pro-lifers are going to want us. They're not going to want us to preach there. I already know that.
Why would that be?
Why would that be? Because they don't stand up and preach the Bible. That's why. They run around and sing songs and pray to statues and have guys get up. And he asked, well, why? Why won't they let you preach? Well, they're not going to let us preach in that event like that. Why?
Oh, my ornery younger self 3 years ago. I was like, because they just stand around and pray to statues. They don't do anything over there. They don't want us over there. It's still true today, but it's just funny because I'm like, they're not going to let us over there. They're just praying to statues over there. And they are. They go around, and they walk around like that. And they got the host in their hand. And then one guy's carrying the smoky thing that's like burning incense when he's shaking it like this, and he's shaking his hand. You know what it reminds me of? All right, I'm sorry, but it just does. Okay, it reminds me of it. When I was a kid, there was this wrestler named Kamala, and he smacked his fat tummy, and he had like smoke and stuff, and just. And when you look at them, they look like the Undertaker. They look like Paul Bearer carrying the Undertaker's urn. And walking through with the urn. That's what they look like. That's what they look like. And those cops over there are all St. Paul police. They're all Roman Catholic, almost all of them. Boy, do they hate it when the Baptists show up. I'm just saying. Anyway, so I know. It's me. I'm this. I know. I'm not. The little church mouse. But anyway, it was just funny. It just caught me off guard because I didn't remember saying that, but I did anyway.
Well, because they don't preach. They just walk around and chant and sing songs and do all those things, but they don't preach. They don't do anything like that. So anyway, so that's what we're here for today so far. We'll keep you updated as the day goes on other things and events that take place here.
Anyway, so that's what she's talking about when she says, oh man, all these protesters are out there. Well, that's what she's talking about, people like us. She's talking about people like us that go out in front of these events and we preach, right? And they get upset. So both sides don't like us. And I'm not sorry, but I can't walk through the event with those guys going, and they're walking around with their little thing, and they're shaking their smoke. They're shaking their hookah or whatever that thing is. It looks like, what do you call that thing? It looks like a hookah. I mean, it doesn't look like a hookah, but it smokes like one. You know? That thing. That thing they have. Right. So, anyway. So, she says the violence, she's talking about speech. There's no recorded act of real violence here. By violence, Zay does not refer to the breaking of severity. Listen to what J.D. Hall says. By violence, Zay does not refer to the breaking and severing of babies' limbs, their dismemberment, beheading, and brain-sucking carnage that takes place upon the innocent unborn. Apparently, she was concerned about the violence of abortion protesters in the milieu. She first felt her call to the ministry. Right? Right? Is that a censor? Is that what that is? Okay. Zay now serves as the director of the Religious Coalition of Reproductive Choice. What does that even mean? Translation? Babykillers.com. For all your baby killing needs, go to Religious Coalition of Reproductive Choice. Babykillers.com. That's who they are. I mean, why don't you just call them what they are? I'm one of those old, mean prophets that's getting gray hair every day and getting a gray beard every day that points my bony finger and says, you know what? You're a bunch of witches and you murder babies. That's what you are. Right? She has added the word reverend to her title, thanks to the ordination given her by Pullen Memorial Baptist Church. This organization was one of the responsible for blessing the abortion clinic opening in Austin several weeks ago. The Texas clergy that gathered together to bless the abortion clinic. I mean, really? I mean, really? Like, that's not a joke, folks. That's serious. Zen has written a new book in which she uses female faith figures in the Bible to promote her pro-abortion views. When asked which Bible figure she most relates to, well, I would say Jezebel, if you want to know the truth. I can help you with that. I think you most relate to Jezebel, a fornicating whore. A slut of Satan, that's who I think you identify with. But guess what? People will be more appalled at what I just said than what she's doing. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, she identifies best with Jezebel. or the Witch of Endor, although the Witch of Endor didn't murder babies from what I understand. But Jezebel sure did, and Athelia sure did. I could think of a lot of witches you identify with, lady. And I wouldn't mind telling you to your face. Right? Now, Pastor, you gotta calm down. After all, they're just killing babies. What's the big deal? And now they're doing it in the name of God from a Baptist church. What's your problem anyway? Here's what she said. Zay has written a book, new book, in which she uses female faith figures in the Bible to promote her pro-abortion views. When asked which Bible figures she most relates to, she said that she relates to Martha, because Martha wasn't afraid to challenge Christ. Challenge Christ? Identify with a lot of them, but personality-wise, Martha of Bethany is one of I identify with the most. Martha was working in the kitchen when Jesus was teaching Mary. I think Martha was doing ministry work, for she brought her complaint to Jesus. What I love about her is she advocates herself and is not afraid to challenge Jesus about what he does or doesn't do. Did you just hear what this lady said? Did you just read that? You have to be a witch to twist that story that way. You just twisted that. You just twisted that into saying that Martha wasn't afraid to challenge Jesus about what he does or doesn't do. Like Martha was correcting Jesus. Like, I mean, really? Zen now through her abortion work, advocates herself and challenges Jesus. Throughout her interview, Zay refers to her pro-abortion work as justice, and her church's website refers to her work as social justice. Let me see if I can find that website again. Let me back up here. Come on, slowpoke. Welcome from the pastor. Oh, look, that's the other pastor. Hi. I'm Queen Jezebel, and I'm in charge of this congregation, and all the men are limp-wristed. And they have no manhood about them. They checked it in at the door, and I never gave it back to them. I put it in me box and I locked it up. Ha 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 ha. Okay, well, there are numerous mission groups in which we involved in, such as Care of Creation, Healthcare, Peace and Justice, and many others that represent our church's ministry. Let's see what their history is. Let's see if they say it. I gotta see this. It's probably gonna make me sick. Oh, it does make me sick. Oh, I hate the devil. A mission of First Baptist Church was begun in South Raleigh in May of 1884 under the leadership of John Pullen. It was organized as Fayetteville Street Baptist Church on December 1884. The strong lay leadership in the early days included John T. Pullen, who often conducted services in the absence of the pastor, C.T. Bailey, George Ball, Sylvester Betts, W. Blank, all these other men. A series of short-term pastors, usually 1 to 3 years, included O.L. Stringfield Freeman. 5 days after the death of John Pullen on May 2, 1913, the congregation renamed itself Pullen. Oh, my goodness. So this church, look at this. This church, not too long, apostasy. The same year they began to rotate deacons in 1927, the congregation also approved the election of women as deacons. In that year, they chose 4. No other women were elected until 1950. right? They started social Christianity with a spirit of ecumenicism uncommon in Baptist churches to accept associate members, people who came from other denominations, giving them all privileges of membership except voting and holding office. So they let the devil in the door. And they started compromising right away. Right after a little while. Right? Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, that's them. That's a bunch of LGBTQ witches. If you don't think that lady's a lesbian. What are frequently asked questions? Since this is Apostasy Watch Friday. We are a Baptist congregation that holds dear the four fragile freedoms upon which Baptists were founded. Soul freedom, it's actually soul liberty. Right? Soul liberty. Bible freedom, religious freedom, and church freedom. I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you, because that's not any tenets of Baptist. Historically, Poland had a strong commitment to meaningful and thoughtful worship and active lay involvement in social justice ministers. Our approach to religious education values asking the questions of faith while affirming the basic tenets of the faith. Asking the questions of the faith while affirming the that is a witch. Do you see this? Asking the questions of the faith while affirming the basic tenets of the faith. No, you don't affirm the basic tenets of the faith, you little witch. You don't. You're lying. That's a lie. They don't do that. Okay, let's see. I'm just curious about this apostate church. How can I get involved? What does Poland offer my youth? Look, this isn't Baptist. Informed by the seasons of the Christian year and the use of the Revised Common Lectionary, worship services are purposely planned to assist the congregation in gathering for worship. Baptists don't do... Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, look. Look. Oh, that makes sense. Hey, can I help you with something? Let me help you with something. Wherever you see LGBTQ, you're going to see some babies being murdered. Why? Because they don't have any natural affection. That's why. They hate babies. Now, Pastor, why do you think they hate babies? Because they don't have any. And if they do, they have so much, they're without natural affection, they don't have them regularly, but they have to have a man to have a baby. Right? Right? So wherever you see LGBTQ, you better believe there's going to be some baby murdering going on. Did you see those two lesbians that were in the news a few months ago, that totally mutilated this poor 5-year-old boy? I don't want to get into talking about a bunch of that gross stuff, but that's what happened. Here's their mission statement. Why this ministry? Our work is to continue to encourage Polonites, to welcome and affirm all persons, regardless of sexual or gender orientation, to encourage LGBTQ Polonites to fully engage in the life of the church. The LGBTQ Fellowship is part of the Pullen faith community, seeks to help same-gender loving people integrate into the life and ministry of the church and provide safe places for our community to be together. Well, you ain't safe there with a bunch of lesbos in there. You ain't safe with a bunch of homos in there. To partner with other advocacy groups LGBT groups in our community to work for equality and justice for members of our community. Okay. What's that mean? To educate the Pullen congregation and community about justice and equality issues affecting the LGBTQ community. Pullen Memorial Church is an LGBTQ-affirming courageous. Courageous? What's so courageous about following the devil and believing what he says? No, you're not, Baptist, you stinking, rotten liars. You don't hold the Baptist faith, you bunch of liars. Yes, you read that right. We are Baptists. No, you're not. I know what a Baptist is, and you ain't one of them. You don't believe God's word is the sole authority of faith and practice. You don't believe that, you stinking liar, you bunch of witches. We are not afraid to struggle with difficult questions of faith. There is no struggle. It's plain. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What's struggling about, and no effeminate shall enter into the kingdom of God? What's so struggling about Sodom and Gomorrah? What's so struggling about that? We are not afraid to struggle with questions of faith. After lengthy discussion and prayer in 1992, Pullen endorsed unqualified acceptance of gay and lesbian Christians. Okay, well, go back and see the teaching a week ago or so, 2 weeks ago, on how there's no such thing as a gay Christian. Nope. Nope. No such thing. Within a year, Pullen was excluded from the Raleigh Baptist Association. Well, good for them! Good for them! Wow. Hey, look at this spammer that came on here. Kim Jong Cooley. How about that? Why do all the fruity tooty people come out, and all the satanic gangster people come out as soon as I start talking about these subjects? I think I make the devil mad with this stuff. Once you rip that cover off, right, and you show the truth of what's really going on, they get really ticked about it. So, Raleigh Baptist Association, good for them. The Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, how about that? The sun shines on a dog's rear end some days, doesn't it? Isn't that something? Even they were too much for them. Right? We are proud to be a founding congregation of the LGBTQ Affirming Alliance of Baptists. Oh, my goodness, am I going to search them out and totally, theologically rip them to shreds soon? And notice I said theologically with the Bible. Okay, so we understand that murdering babies and LGBTQ go hand in hand together with Satan. And these people are witches. This church is a church. Pullen Memorial Baptist Church is a church of witches. That's what I'm telling you. And I wasn't even planning on really talking about that. But there you go. Now you have it. Right? Can I give you another one? Hell Song, right? Some people call him Hell Song. This guy. This guy writer Marty Sampson, Hillsong writer Marty Sampson, renounces his faith on Instagram. What a place to do it, right? Like, who do these people think they are anyway?
I need to make an announcement to everybody in all the world, just so you all know.
He's become a mirror of his God for all on Instagram to observe. Blind, groping, and dumb, says J.D. Hall, the songwriter for the Christian band Hillsong, and Christian should be in parentheses, right? Mm-hmm. Recently announced his hardened disbelief on Instagram. Samson's song lyric have been broadcasting his rejection of the true and living God found in the Bible for years, but gullible evangelicals have shut their eyes and swayed to the music. Now Samson speaks his apostasy clearly enough for even the most starry-eyed among us to get it. We've been warning P&P readers about Hillsong for years, says J.D. Hall. The charismatic multi-site megachurch founded by a pedophile dominates the contemporary worship movement. Their songs are ubiquitous on the screens of trendy churches throughout the world. Tragically, even churches who claim a high commitment to Bible inerrancy in their preaching have succumbed to singing the vaguely spiritual Hillsong mantras for their worship. We warn that Hillsong operates as a cult. The worship teams forthrightly confess all allegiance to their senior pastor's agenda above all, even to the point of covering his sexual abuses. We expose Hillsong's vision to redefine the church as a vast movement of broken, hint when you read this word, think unrepentantly sinful souls. Jesus loves even more for their worldliness in Hillsong's little ditties. Right? In Hillsong's ditties, Christ conforms to the lost who are merely victims of their circumstances. Broken, trapped, wounded, let down, hurting. Little wonder the antinomian Hillsong leaders are on record as both gay-affirming and abortion-affirming. So, here's what they do. They infiltrate churches. They make money with what they're doing. And then they're gone. Little wonder. We warn that Hillsong preaches an ecumenical prosperity gospel, promising riches and happiness to all those who speak the right phrases, right? Which is the prosperity movement. Right? So what exactly was Hillsong Marty Sampson's admission on Instagram? It rambles. One can read it here. But the essence is this. His exceeding happiness to have genuinely lost his faith. The church is full of hypocrites. The Bible is full of unscientific contradictions. He mentions these as if they are already understood and as if they are already understood and proven. Right? And Samson is going with what is true to me right now. So I'm like going to what is like true to me right now. So moral relativism. Right? All right. Notice how Marty Sampson's Instagram statement of unbelief imports the exact true to me right now sentiments Hillsong's music has taught our churches to sing about what they believe for years. Their music style mimics the spirit of the age. Truth is subjective.
Excuse me.
Truth is subjective, right? That's what they teach. The message is vague and malleable, and feelings are the alpha and omega. Oh, we can't trust our feelings. Our feelings lie to us and tell us not to trust God, not to believe him, but to believe our own feelings, that God's failed us, that God's not true to us, and that all this stuff is else. Oh, we've got to follow the Lord. We've got to follow what God, the work of the Holy Ghost, and what God has done in our hearts and our minds through changing us and making us new creatures, not follow our feelings, because they're going to go up and down, but God stays the same all the way through, and he hasn't changed his mind about what he said in his word. Look at one of their songs, right? And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Now, it sounds like you're talking to a... It really sounds like, for the most part, your song right here is talking to some girlfriend. Right? By the way, the Bible's not full of unscientific contradictions. All of the Bible's science is plain. And actually, the Bible has proved itself to be true over and over again, where scientists have gotten it wrong and the Bible's corrected them out. But you know, anyway, let me keep going here for a second. If the slovenly grinning Samson's brains have not permanently fried through heavy substance abuse, he does an excellent job of imitating that malady. For Samson, love keeps evolving. Your faith keeps evolving, he states. If you just keep Jesus Christ as a center, it doesn't matter what you do. If you keep Christ as a center, you will do awesome. You will do really good in this life. What a great summary of idolatry Samson provides. It is the same idolatry woven through every Hillsong chorus. God is reconfigured in my image. Christ is all about my success. Focus on things I do for this God. I do for this God, not for his eternal attributes, commands, redemptive work in history. Expect paychecks. Rinse, repeat, and multiply mind-dumb choruses over again. Try shutting your eyes and hands up the sway. This God is moved by loud noises and plaintive wails. The electric guitars can be useful that way. You don't have to rend your garments for him to rend the skies if you worship leaders wearing ripped jeans. So J.D. Hall is basically what he's saying is they're a bunch of empty jokes. But let me go a step further and take you to the Babylonian Bee. Now, the Babylonian Bee is satire, but satire, there's an element of truth to. And I want you to see the truth here, because this is the truth. Christian artist renounces his faith now that Jesus has served his purpose of providing fame and fortune. Now, when I'm done with my Pentecostal charismatic stuff that I'm doing, when the Lord has me done with that, the next thing I'm going to... Look at this androgynous guy down at the corner. Can you believe this? Look at this androgynous Fruit Loop down here. Anyway. Most CCM artists are like this, by the way. Most CCM artists have... They only get into it for the money. And you can go back to Amy Grant and all those others. They were pot smoking, running around partying, hitting acid, doing all kinds of stuff, fornicating, all of it. Playing music that eventually has nothing to do. Listen to what the Babylonian Bee says is a joke, but it's actually true. Christian artist renounces faith now that Jesus has served his purpose of providing fame and fortune. This is satire, okay? Christian singer-songwriter Marty Sampson renounces faith the moment Jesus had served his purpose of providing his fame and fortune. Now that being a Christian songwriter has made me rich and famous, I'm not really sure what purpose Jesus serves anymore, Samson said as he picked through a bowl of M&Ms backstage, making sure there were no brown ones. So I just let him know he was cut from the team. No need carrying around all that Christian baggage. Samson pointed out that although writing Christian worship music made him famous, there's not much more fame and fortune he can achieve under the Christian label, so it's time to move on to greener pastures. The artist bravely suffered for his decision to walk away from the Christian faith. His martyrdom at the hands of judgmental Christians will be the subject of multi-million-dollar documentary book and reflective solo album titled What a Beautiful Fame. At publishing time, Samson had clarified that he wasn't walking away from the faith just yet. As his agent had informed him, there was still a little bit of money to be made off believers before he goes fully secular. Okay. Gene, I can use a resource and understand that I don't have to agree with them. It's like using Drudge Report. I don't agree with them. Okay? I know J.D. Hall has his problems. Everybody, most of these people do. But, I mean, I don't agree with J.D. Hall's lack of King James Bible study, and I certainly don't agree with MacArthur. and his compromise and the things that he believes. But the point is just what's there. It's a bunch of business. It's about money to these people, right? It's about money. Okay. Let's see. How long have I been on here? 1 hour and 22 minutes. Probably go until 4 o'clock and then I'm out of here, okay? I'm going to get out of here. But I'm going to go spend some time, take my wife out on a date and spend some time with her here tonight. So I got to get out of here while the getting's good here pretty soon. All right? So anyway, you're welcome, Gene. Straight men must date trans women to combat hate, say activists. I want you to think about that for a second now. All right? This is going to be construed as hate. This is going to be construed. Yeah, I've got about 17 minutes here, then I'm done. My goodness. Got to do that. Okay. In social posts that are being widely shared in social media, the trans right campaign is demanding that heterosexual men date trans women. Men pretending to be women in order to fight hatred and bigotry. And that's about the gayest thing in all the world that you could possibly hear. But it's becoming an issue. The trans right campaign. 98%, the audacity of 98% of straight men who are unwilling to date trans women because of hatred. No, what I seriously want to know is, who's the other 2% of men that call themselves straight that'll date a trans woman? Right? Who's the other 2%, man? What is wrong with them? The social memes, media memes, have been put out by the Trans Right Campaign, which is a division of the Human Rights Campaign. The meme says that 98% of straight men are unwilling to date trans women because of hatred. I'm just telling you, I'm glad I'm married. I thank God I'm married. Oh my, do I thank God I'm married. Right? The 2% that go to Hillsong concerts, that's right. That's funny. I like J.D. Hall's sense of humor, though. How the figure for hatred was determined, we are unaware. There are other possible reasons, including but not limited to, 1, trans women are men, and straight men don't want to date men. Oh, there's a hard one for you. We're not Fruit Loops. Boy, that one was hard to figure out, wasn't it? Hey, Joseph is Robin. My family is none of your business, so go take a hike. What's up with all the weirdos, man? Ask me about pop music. Like, what? Oh. Anyway, I'll tell you what. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you what the deal is, okay? I'm just going to say it to you flat out. These sodomite fruit booty men can't stand the fact that you're a man. And you say, no.
So they cut. So the sods come on here and they want to spam my stuff because they can't stand that a real man still lives, that a real man still lives, that won't give in to your limp-wristed, bent, sick, perverted lifestyle, that we're not changing for you. We have a God in heaven that we serve, and we're not going to accept your sick, perverted, disgusting, animalistic, wicked, vile, hellish behavior. We're not going to accept it. We're never going to accept it. By God's holy grace, we will stand in opposition until we're dead against it. And that makes you mad. And that makes me glad. Because I can rejoice. Because I know that I have told the truth to people and I've given it to them. And you're mad about it because you hate God. That's why you're mad. I think somebody said Steven Anderson. I think that whole crack, that question that was said there, whatever, was like something that somebody asked Steven Anderson what he would do if his kids listened to pop music or something. I don't know. First of all, I don't give my kids devices to go listen to whatever they want. I don't do that. Why? Because I'm a parent. That's why. I actually parent my kids. So does my wife. We don't just give them devices that they can pervert their mind with. Right? You people are a bunch of knuckleheads that think like that. You don't even have to be saved to understand that's the dumbest thing in the world. And I know, it sounds tough, but it's the truth. It's the truth. God says they're foolish that ignore his wisdom. They're foolish. Foolish. They're fools, right? The fools make a mock of sin. And a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's why. So we don't do that. All right, we ought to parent our children. Anyway, so point number one, trans women are men and straight men don't want to date men, right? Number two, it's gross. I agree. God calls it filthy abominations. God says he abhors it and he hates it. He abhors it and he hates it. And you know, sometimes I have to be hard, and I know I don't try to be, but sometimes you have to be with people. You have to tell people the truth, especially when they're being disgusting and perverted. Now, I won't put up with them very long because I don't want to waste my time. But you know what? That's the law. Law to the proud, right? That's who gets it. I'll sit down all day and have a conversation with somebody. And try to help them. But I won't put up with their perversion for 5 seconds. I'll look into it, David. I don't know who he is. If you want to send me something, send it to PastorCoolie@iCloud.com and I'll take a look at it. There are probably other reasons that could factor into the 98% figure that are not listed above, but that's probably the bulk of it. Imagine where we have come from in the last 10 or so years. We've gone from you have to respect the rights of people with gender dysphoria to live in their delusion with your judgment, without your judgment, to you have to date them. Ew, no. I agree with him. Right?
You see, just because everyone else lets the gender dysphoric live in fantasy world doesn't mean that we as heterosexual people of faith, God-fearing holy people, need to do it. Have to play along with their pretend playland where they are a different gender than what they really than what reality says they are. As those with properly oriented gender identities and sexual orientations, we cannot possibly hold down our lunch long enough, let alone suppress our conscience long enough to date a member of the same sex just because they put on lipstick and a wig, or God forbid went so far as to masculate or mutilate their body. By the way, the statistic was probably pulled from the 2018 research presented in this study. Warning, you'll see homosexual PDA if you click on that link. I won't do it. Which showed that only a tiny portion of straight men or women would date trans people. However, the same study shows that only 11.5% of gay men would consider dating a trans person. By this logic, roughly 89% of gay men are also hateful bigots. Well, Joseph, none of your business. But I'll tell you one thing, Joseph. I'll tell you one thing, Joseph. One thing's for certain. For sure. One thing's for certain. That my kids could have a better conversation about the things that are going on in this nation and could have a better conversation with you than your kid that stares at an iPod, video games all day, doesn't read anything, and has a mind of mush any day. And I really don't care about all of your false accusations against me. I know this one thing. I know this one thing. That through all that's happened to me in the ministry, God has preserved me through it all. And I can rejoice and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for it. Because no matter what's happened, the church rolls on. No matter what's happened, God still gets the glory. No matter what's happened, he's to be praised. And he's still faithful. Right? God is still faithful. And I think it's kind of interesting that people are making, I know where that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that Charles Haddon Cooley or Jason Spurgeon thing, I know where that comes from. Comes from some charismatics that got mad at me because I exposed their movement. And I just want to I want to take the time to praise God. I want to take the time to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for all of his goodness. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to take the time to do that, and I want to thank God for my wife, for my children, for this church, for good friends that God has given me, for the grace of God to get through anything, for the grace of God to stand here and to still do the work of God through all the adversity that I've been through, that God has brought me through his chastisements, through his whipping me with the rod and teaching me the lessons that I need to learn, through all of the lies that have been told about me, through everything that this ministry has been through. We're still moving for the Lord. We're still doing stuff for God, and God's still saving people, and God's still... As a matter of fact, you know, it's better than ever because it's more led by the Holy Spirit than it's ever been, and we've seen the powerful hand of God in the lives of people, and we just... I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. Thank God for that. And you know what's funny is these broadcasts are doing better than any of my former ones ever did. Right? They're having more exposure and they're being used more by God than they ever have been. And I thank the Lord for that. And I just want to, for all the opposition that comes, and it's a lot.
internally with the devil attacking me and externally with enemies. But here's the thing. These enemies don't move me. Their lies don't move me. And the reason they don't move me is because of God's grace and what he's put and what he's allowed me to go through, what the lessons that he's taught me. So rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to play you a song here. Let's see if I can find it here. Let's see. I don't know what that is. There we go. Oops, that's win. Yeah, that's the right one. Yep, here we go. Amen. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. Amen. Anyway, I'm out of here now. I'm going to take off, and I hope you all have a good weekend, and God bless you all, and thanks for listening. I hope it's a blessing to you, and I pray that it'll help you, and that the Lord will use it in your lives to encourage you to keep fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life. Amen. And thank God for all his goodness and his mercy to you. All right, and be in prayer for one another, be in prayer for us. We've got a lot of activities coming up here. We're printing 10,000 tracks right now as we speak, and another 5,000 will be printed soon as well, and we'll be handing out about 15,000 tracks over the next month in a month. Yeah, so after those 15,000 tracks, we will be handing out more for the month of October for Halloween. So please be in prayer for us as we continue on. And then I'm going to be taking a break. After that, in November, I will be on vacation with my family. We're going to head out to D.C. and do some sightseeing out there, some historical visits of things, and all that good stuff. So anyway, praise the Lord for all of his goodness to us. So you all have a good weekend, and God bless you all.